Welcome to the Planning Committee of the 22nd of June 2021. I just introduce you to our top table that we have here. I'm Councillor Vicky Gould. I have a Vash Chair who is just sitting over onto my right, second seat in, who's Councillor Chris Sylvester. Head of Service over on my far left is Sal Khan. My Planning Manager is on my right, Naomi Perry. Legal Representative is Sherry Grant. Just around the corner we have the Democratic Service Officer, who is Monica Henchcliffe, and I have Planning Officer Alan Harvey here with me now, which is over on my right, and we will have Lisa Bird for our second application today. General housekeeping then. Reminder for you all to switch off your mobile phones, please, so we don't have the interruption. We're not expecting a fire alarm, but if we do, there is a fire exit point towards the far end if you can make your way out, and we will meet across over the opposite side of the car park. If I can remind you not to speak out when somebody else is speaking, as we would like to go for individual speaking one at a time, please. And if I can start over on my far left, and if the committee can introduce themselves, please.
Alison Legg.
Councillor Sheila McKeonan.
Councillor Kenville.
Councillor Granlam.
Councillor Greg Hall.
Councillor Beryl Toon.
Councillor Bev Ashcroft.
Councillor Chris Sylvester.
Councillor Ed Barker.
Thank you all. Any apologies for absence, please?
Councillor McGarry, Councillor Brady and Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you. Any declarations of interest? I take it that is none. And if we move to item three, would members accept the minutes from the last meeting that we held on the 25th of May? And if I propose those, can I have a seconder for those, please? I'll go Councillor Sylvester, thank you. And can we have a name vote on that one then, please, Monica?
Four.
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 Thank you. Any urgent business to be brought to the committee? No, I have not. Thank you. And we move on to the applications then. Our first one for this afternoon is outline application including details of access to develop the land for the erection of five dwellings, which is land south of College Road, Denston. If I can ask Alan to present that to the committee, please.
Thank you, Chair. Right, so it's an application as outlined, for an outline application for details of access, with details of access to develop land for the erection of five number dwellings. And this particular development is coming forward as a rural exception site, so it therefore comprises two number affordable housing units, two number over 55s units, and one number open market unit. As members will be aware from the length of the report, obviously it runs to some 44 pages, there are a number of planning issues. There have been a number of representations from interested parties as well. I'm going to try and encapsulate it as best as possible in my presentation, which might be a little bit lengthy, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to be able to cover every issue that each resident's raised individually, so obviously we will deal with it in overarching sections. The other thing is to head off in the beginning is that going to the opening slide in terms of the site constraints, the application site lies to the south of College Road in Denston. The application site itself is clearly outside limits to development. The site has been promoted as an exceptions site under the council's local plan policy SP18 and under the neighbourhood plan policy in Denston, which is SB2. Now, our policy is relatively lengthy, but in terms of the neighbourhood plan policy, I think it's worth just encapsulating the beginning what's really in front of us, which is the neighbourhood plan policy states that in terms of rural exception housing, proposals for small-scale new housing development outside the defined settlement boundary of Denston and the settlements of Stubwood, Quicksill and Presswood will only be permitted if it is demonstrated that the two criteria set out below can be met. The development is on a small scale, providing affordable housing for evidence need in accordance with the local plan policy SP18. Small numbers of market homes may be permitted if essential to deliver the affordable housing units. And secondly, development preserves or enhances the character and appearance of the area. Now, obviously, in the context of that policy and our own SP18 policy, the normal other development plan policies apply, and we'll be going through them in terms of visual and residential amenities. But at the outset, I just wanted to set the scene in that it is being proposed as a rural exceptions application, and therefore it's whether that meets the criteria of the rural exceptions site. So in terms of the actual application site itself, I'm just going to use the cursor to go through things. So we've got the land to the south of College Road. You've got, as we'll go through the photographs and to give a little bit more in-depth outline of the actual locality. But essentially, to the north of the site, you've got the post-war development that's occurred in the village of Denston. And then that also continues further to the east as you go towards the village centre. The exception on that north side of the College Road is the stone house, which is the listed building, which is identified in green there. In terms of the actual adjacent to the site, you've got Richmond House, which is immediately to the east, and that's identified in the neighbourhood plan as a building of local heritage interest, and that's similarly the case with the Crofts, which lies to the south of the application site. Just at this point in time, I've just put in for references later on that in terms of the application site, it's the area to the west of the road that goes up to Crofts that's actually going to be the built form of development. On the right-hand side and on the eastern portion of the land, that was originally proposed to be part of the application site in terms of built development, but now only forms part of an open paddock area which will remain and be used quite likely for any overspill planting and any sort of drainage scheme. So there's no built form of development proposed on that part of the site, and as we'll come towards the end, that's covered by condition as well. So taking that forward, this is the same basically constraint shown within the context of an aerial photograph. So you've got the application site, Richmond House, the Crofts, the residential development to the north of the site, and then this also shows that you've got the public footpath that runs through the centre of the site before heading southwest to join a whole series or myriad of footpaths and bridleways that lead up towards Denston College, which is over there to the southwest. In terms of the actual road itself, you've got the main road that runs into the village centre, and then you've got the road that continues on and continues up and serves the college. So you've got the college traffic on it. In terms of the neighbourhood plan, this provides a whole series of key viewpoints which have been identified in that neighbourhood plan document. In terms of this application site, which is shown with the yellow star there to highlight it, it is in effect surrounded by viewpoints 1 and 6, although viewpoint 1 is actually 4 different triangles, as members can see. So in terms of those viewpoints, the the plan, in terms of the neighbourhood plan, talks about the fact that from College Road there are views into the which show how it, the countryside brings a rural setting into the centre, and that the fields of remains of denuded ridge and furrow. There are also views of the rural setting of the village from the public footpath running south from College Road from behind the croft, and we'll have a look at those shortly. And the other key view is from public footpaths around the college site, which follow contour lines and give views across the village and its rural setting. So if we just take a quick look through the wider context and those key viewpoints. This is key view six. So this is taken. This is a photograph taken from towards the college area. I've actually taken it in front of the hedge that actually screens the college from that field area. And the application site lies under the arrow area on this slide. You can't actually physically see that the application site itself. You can see the tree screen that runs along the western boundary. So again, just putting that into context. So the photograph was taken from that position there. In terms of the application site, it lies within a tree screen that runs round here. And there's also where the public footpath is talked about in terms of other key views is that location there, and we'll come to that photograph. And there's also a key viewpoint that's identified there. So that's one of the key viewpoints. That's actually taken from College Road, and that looks up in the opposite direction to the application site. So the footpath leads through the field area. The application site is over here towards the right-hand side. Right, as I said, in terms of the neighbourhood plan and the views that are identified from the footpaths to the south of the croft, this is specifically two photographs showing that. So on this slide, which is taken from the actual position of the footpath itself, you've got the application site, which runs between the two markers, the two red arrows. So you've got so you can see what is... It's now part of that paddock area. You can see the hedgerow beyond, which forms the boundary along College Road. In terms of the contours and of the land, you can see you're at a higher level up on the public footpath, and you get into view across the foreground of the paddock area, the hedgerows, and then you've got the built development of the existing village beyond. This is again just going round slightly, so you've got the application site, which ends there with the vehicular access in from College Road, and this is looking round now towards Richmond House that sits there, and that's the Crofts. The key viewpoint in terms of reference is here, and as I say, you're looking down towards the village and the application site. So to go on a bit of a trip, shall we say, we're going to look at the application site in the context of how it's approached along College Road. So this is taking you from the Village Hall direction towards the Denston College, running along College Road. So in the immediate foreground, as you get towards the application site, which appears in with a red arrow again on all these slides, you've got Richmond House, which is that local interest building, which sits here. Behind the hedgerows of the road. So continuing on, that's where Richmond House is. Again, that's that key view across the field area, which in the opposite direction to the application site. Moving round, you've got the application site there on your left with the arrow. On the right hand side, you've got the Grade 2 listed stone house. Moving down College Road, that's the actual site entrance. So the actual application site sits behind the hedgerow in that location there, and that's the access into the site. So continuing on past the site and now looking back towards the village centre, again, you've got the access road into the site. You've also got the opposite side of the road. So you've got residential properties at a higher level on this side, and they sit behind this mature hedge. And again, just continuing further down, I've got the college. I've got the college behind my back in terms of the direction. And I'm looking towards the village centre, and then that's right towards Narrow Lane goes up on the left-hand side there. And again, that's looking further back down College Road. Right, moving towards the application site itself. This is stood at the entrance into the application site, looking across on the other side of College Road. So you've got the nearest residential properties. That's the one that's directly facing the application site. This is the view east towards the village centre. This is stood at the entrance to the access road, so you're looking down towards the village centre. And in terms of the application proposal, that involves cutting back the hedgerow so you can get an additional visibility display, and we'll deal with that when you come to it. Similarly, looking towards the college, that's the existing visibility as it goes along the college road. Finally, again, we're looking across the road at the nearest dwelling. So that dwelling faces the application site. And as you move along, again, that's the dwellings facing the application site. So you've got the application site hedgerow again, and then the hedgerows to the dwellings on the opposite side of the road, and the dwellings at a higher level. Right, proceeding into the application site itself. So coming in from College Road, the application site with the built development is going to be on your right-hand side. And again, that's going further up the access, with again the built development going to be on the right-hand side. That's the Crofts in the background there. And then looking at the next slide, this is the paddock area that will be used for the suds and any compensatory planting. This shows that the relationship between the access drive and therefore the development site and the nearest dwelling at Richmond House. And then this is looking back now from the access road across the development site itself. So we've got the hedgerow that fronts onto College Road. The development site doesn't quite go as far as that tree screen, but that's the tree screen that we were looking at with a photograph looking down from Denston College. In terms of the actual contours of the land, it's an uneven surface area, which in general terms rises towards the college grounds, and then it dips there before rising up into the towards the footpaths at the top. And we'll finish with a couple of those photos you've seen before. So that's the application site again, looking down towards College Road. And again, the application site's there again, showing the undulating nature of the actual site itself, but the gradual rise that goes up towards the west. And finally, back down from the other key viewpoint. Right, so in terms of the application itself, as an outline application, it's effectively at this stage just for an approval of in principle, along with the details of the access. And in terms of that, you've got a 5 metre wide access onto College Road, and you've got an access that runs with the road to the front of the residential proposed properties. There's also a footpath being proposed behind the hedgerow, so it'll cut through a section of the hedge to come off College Road to run in front of the dwellings and then back out onto College Road down there. So those are the fixed points in terms of this application. In terms of the other elements of the application, then what you see in front of you is an illustrative site layout showing how 5 dwellings can be accommodated within the application site. That's just a closer version of it, just to give us some indication that those are the 5 dwellings. The paddock area there that will be retained for either suds or any overspill planting, and then the access road. The visibility displays are shown in red and orange to show how far they need to be down the road, which is acceptable to the highway authority, which we'll come to. And again, the other areas are just shown in orange, just to show the visibility that's been required from the highway authority. In terms of, again, illustrative streetscape, so this is effectively if you were stood on that road that's being proposed to serve the dwellings. And again, that shows that the contours of the land. So this is the access entrance into the site. And as you've got the highest dwelling, the two-storey dwelling, at the lowest point of the application site. And then it moves up in terms of dormer bungalows. And then just three single-storey bungalows as you go up. That is an illustrative street scene with the hedge shown. So, I mean, obviously, in terms of the photographs you saw, obviously there's a degree of... this is an illustrative plan, and it shows the context in the overall streetscape. And again, in terms of cross-sections, this is just showing the differences between the land levels. So you've got College Road here, and this is the property at the top end, so it shows you how far the land rises as it goes towards the college and then drops further down as you go back down towards the access road. So moving on to the committee report sections in terms of bringing things together. I mean, obviously, from here on, there's a number of pages of comments, so I've just... put it as succinctly as possible in this presentation. So obviously the Highway Authority are raising no objections in principle now to the development, subject to the conditions that they're proposing in terms of visibility displays. In terms of the Public Rights of Way Officer, they make sure that the scheme doesn't compromise the rights and safety of users of the public rights of way, which the Highway Authority are content with. Similarly, that's the case with the Footpath Society. In terms of Environment Agency, moving on to areas of the flood, which we'll come to as an issue, they defer, because of the size of the development, to the lead local flood authority, who are saying that, in essence, that they haven't got an overall objection to the scheme, but need to ensure that finished floor levels and surrounding ground levels should be designed in accordance with building regulations to direct surface water away from the dwellings, and that sufficient drainage to capture or divert the flow will be needed to prevent ponding. And in terms of the Severn Trent Water, they've got no objection, subject to a surface water and drainage condition. Okay, so in terms of the representations received, as set out in the committee report, the parish council have raised substantive objections to the proposal, both in terms of policy and in terms of impacts. They've actually set out in two lengthy correspondences, which we've attached as appendices, to make sure that full view that is being given of what's been objected to. But in more succinct terms, they object in terms of the scheme being outside the settlement boundary and being contrary to the rural exceptions criteria, consider it to be a precedent, consider that it would exacerbate existing problems on flooding, that the scheme is just a standard layout and isn't site-specific, that it harms the character of the area, which including encroaching into the open countryside, compromises highway safety, has a loss of grade 3 agricultural land, and is contrary to a raft of development plan policies. Now, I don't want to be glib here in any sense, and in terms of the actual residents, we've set out the full representations and objections over the pages 12 to 15 in the application report. So again, substantially the comments relate to the concerns about the development being outside the settlement boundary, the negative impact on the countryside, the negative impact on the area, the precedent, also concern that it would make a complete mockery of the preparation and making of a neighbourhood plan, because the site itself was rejected as a housing allocation site as part of that process, although as I understand it was entered at a late stage in that process. Also, that it would exacerbate the local flood problems, would impact negatively on character and the key viewpoints in the locality, compromised highway safety, a pinch point with poor visibility, and again has little regard to its rural context, setting of heritage assets, and would put at risk the hedgerow, and doesn't address short and long term ecology issues. In turn, the neighbourhood plan monitoring group have got support from the local MP, who again objects on the basis that the settlement boundary is outside and it's not suitable for development, and that the site is on the vicinity of the floodplain and there's a high risk of flooding in the locality. And again, not meaning to be glib to the member concerned, but again, encapsulating very much the objections that have been raised in other aspects in terms of the country being contrary to the neighbourhood plan in terms of outside settlement, precedent, concerns about highway safety, and that the site's within an area of high risk flooding. In terms of policies, as set out in the report, we are obviously dealing with the MPPF, the local plan, the neighbourhood plan, the housing choice document, which has very much informed the process in terms of the affordable housing, the design guide, separation distances, amenities SPD, and the parking SPD. So bringing everything all together, in terms of the actual case being made and otherwise for the development, officers have interrogated the application and it's been in for quite a time. There's been amendments to that process as it's gone along. But in terms of where we are as officers, we consider that the developers have, in principle, met the criteria of the rural exceptions policies in both the local plan and the neighbourhood plan, and that the site is well located in terms of local services and bus route. It's also considered that it's been demonstrated that the development could be accommodated on the site, which wouldn't harm the character and appearance of the locality, including the viewpoints identified in the neighbourhood plan. Now, specifically on this, and the comments very much are guided, is very much that there will be views, and it's quite clear that there'll be the development will be clearly in view when you're walking up the public footpath. But in terms of the overall views, the officer viewpoint is that in the context of the wider settlement, you'll be looking down from the public footpath towards residential development, which will be seen against the backdrop of other residential development. So that's the key issue in terms of how we look at it from a key viewpoint. In terms of amenity, it's considered that dwellings can be accommodated on without having overbearing, overshadowing or overlooking impact, given the distances involved, and that the generation of noise and disturbance by fire dwellings wouldn't be significant in the locality. In terms of highway safety, the county highway have raised no objections on safety grounds and considered that the access can be achieved with suitable visibility as a condition to deal with that. In terms of the historic environment, no objections were raised by the conservation officer, considers the sufficient distance between the statutory designated stone house and the development so as not to cause material harm to that setting. And it's also considered that in terms of the non-statutory designated heritage assets, you've got Richmond House, which is already closer to modern housing, and that in terms of Cross House, which presents a very much a rear face to the development, that it wouldn't harm that setting either. In terms of flood risk, as outlined, there has been no objections from statutory bodies on flood risk or drainage grounds. The site itself is flood risk one, and the applicant's drainage engineers believe that a drainage scheme can be designed to ensure that the development will not exacerbate off-site flooding issues. Now, I've just included a slide here just to illustrate the context of the application site in the wider locality, and there's going to be some further discussion and presentation on surface water from the site. But essentially, you've got the application site there, which has now been designed so that there's no issues in terms of flooding on site. In terms of risk of flooding from surface water, what you've got there is a diagram taken from the the EA's website, which shows the potential for risk of flooding from surface water in the locality. So essentially the debate that's in place and what will be the recommendation is influenced by is whether that development will exacerbate surface water problems outside the application site. And there's been a there is an identified risk to the east of surface water flooding, which has been pointed out in both in terms of VA and by and residents will show you pictures of that in due course. Now, the essentially the statutory bodies are saying to us they've got no objection. As officers, we're in a position of saying, well, the engineers are saying that there's a solution, and there often is a solution, and that can be designed as part of the application process. In terms of the other issues to conclude, it's considered that subject to mitigation measures, the site can be developed without long-term material detrimental impacts on biodiversity. So that would be, for example, compensating for any removal of hedge to create the pathway or visibility splays. And then finally, in terms of relevant planning matters, obviously to ensure a delivery of what is an exception site with its specific units that have been agreed or in the context of the housing choice paper, then they would be tied to a unilateral agreement to ensure the delivery of the affordable units and the over 55 units. And that's quite typical of such developments. Members will be familiar with sites that we've dealt with in the past. One example is in Yoxall, and there was the Weaver Lake site, and then there was another site in Draycott in the Clay. Right, to bring matters to a conclusion, and I apologise, a lengthy presentation, it's considered that the proposal is, in overall terms, compliant with a local plan, neighbourhood plan, and associated documentation in terms of the delivery of a rural exceptions housing site, and that council has worked proactively with the developers to interrogate the application in all sense and purposes. So coming to the recommendation, and somewhat unusual obviously for members, is that we've recommended approval, and it's subject to the unilateral undertaking and conditions as outlined in the officer report. So in terms of the conditions, they're typical conditions you'd expect with the outline any outline approval. So layout, scale, appearance and landscaping, levels, drainage, construction management plan, ecology, lighting materials and visibility, access provision of parking areas, boundary treatments and landscaping, all to be delivered as part of reserve matters package, and also tying in the actual specific properties that have been applied for. But the other issue was that in the context that this is a rural exception site, officers went back to the applicants and asked for a further information in terms of a full-blown drainage strategy, which they were reluctant to provide on the basis that they considered that it's reasonable for any planning authority to put a condition on any permission in terms of any development that's approved. From the officer position, it was considered that there is still a balance of a necessity to give a definitive view that that the flooding issue can be overcome outside the site. So in terms of going forward, and for members to consider at this committee the principle, which obviously we've been through for quite some length as to whether that's acceptable or not in principle, the recommendation is that subject to meeting the conditions and the unilateral undertaking, that the developers be required within 56 days of any positive resolution to satisfactorily demonstrate to officers that the scheme would not exacerbate off-site surface water flooding. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Alan. Before we move to the public speaking, could I ask that all members actually open up the photographs that we have been given as part of the update? As on our screen here, we will have the timer for our speakers so that they're aware of how long they have left. So if the members could bring those up, please. And whilst we're doing that, if I can call on our first person then to take the seat, and that would be Mrs. Jessica Turner from Dunstan Parish Council, if you'd like to take a seat. Good afternoon. UKIP. So you will have 3 minutes which will be shown up on the board here, and if you want to refer to your photographs, we now have them up on our screens. Thank you.
Is that working? Can you hear me?
Okay.
I speak here today not only objecting as parish council, but representing many residents of our community. As per our written representation, the proposed development is contrary to policy SP18 in the adopted local plan. The policy makes clear that the local planning authority must provide evidence that there is a need to must be satisfied that in light of evidence there is a need to provide more affordable housing that would not otherwise be met. This development is contrary to this policy, as there is sufficient land available within the settlement boundary and the parameters of policy SB1 and 2 of the Denston Neighbourhood Plan to meet the housing need. You can see on our first photograph, therefore exceptions are not required and there is no sufficient rationale to depart from these policies. This information clearly demonstrates our first issue, that to grant this consent is to set a clear precedent, not only for Denston Village, but other areas. If approved, this sends the message that small-scale sites that erode the open countryside, providing they deliver affordable housing, are acceptable. Furthermore, we are already aware the eyes are on this application and decision, with other speculative sites being prepared for submission, which should this be granted today. Whilst we cannot consider what may happen, we can consider the precedent this sets. My next point relates to highway safety. There are already safety concerns over the access onto College Road from this site and the wider impact of other additional vehicle movements. These highways concerns have been raised by Staffs County Council. The proposed development would further exacerbate safety issues. Members have had the benefit of a virtual site visit today. However, this virtual tour may not have been at peak traffic times, which we refer to with school traffic. To put into context, College Road along this stretch is a narrow, single-track rural lane with no pavements. It links Denston College to the main village. Watching over 300 coaches, minibuses and cars trying to pass each other, all within an hour at the end and beginning of every school day, is extremely concerning. College Road is used as a pedestrian route to both Denston College and Denston Primary, amongst other things. It continues to be a major safety concern for the young people and their families who commute along this route. This revised scheme has addressed highways objections relating to visibility, albeit at an environmental cost of removing an established mature hedgerow. However, we do not consider it addresses the points I've raised on safety. To summarise, this development is contrary to policy SB1 and SB2, development within the village settlement boundary of the Denston Neighbourhood Plan, as there is already sufficient land to meet the required housing numbers. To grant this permission would set an unacceptable precedent that will erode the character of the village developing on previously undeveloped land. The additional vehicle movements and new access will create a greater threat to pedestrians walking on the narrowest part of the lane, especially while accessing the school. These points alone, we believe, provide enough factual evidence to refuse this application. Thank you.
Thank you for your speech. Our next public speaker will be Mrs. Jackie Payne, please. Good afternoon, Mrs. Payne.
Good afternoon. I continue to speak on behalf of myself and other Denston residents. I note the officer's report states that our MP, Kate Griffiths, supports the material considerations we have put forward. In fact, her views were made public in Staffordshire Live on the 17th of June. Firstly, the proposed site is within 200 metres of land identified as high risk of flooding. The photographs 2-4 show the true and evidenced impact of flooding from the entrance of the proposed site right through to the village centre. The flooding happens several times each year. This development will be removing current vital soakaway land. Jess has already mentioned the hedgerow is being removed to address the concern of highways around visibility splays. This will in turn further exacerbate the current flooding issue. Further responding to the officer's report, I note paragraph 4.5 cites the Yoxall appeal, which was a rural exception site, and comparison is drawn between that decision, which was allowed, and this application. Denston is not comparable to this exception in any way and must not be considered as such. In addition, policy SP8 in the adopted local plan sets clear criteria for development outside of the settlement boundary. This application is contrary to this, as within policy SB1 of Denston's neighbourhood plan, it clearly identifies a settlement boundary larger than the one in the adopted local plan that is capable of delivering the identified housing need and more. Therefore, there is no reason to consider development outside of the settlement boundary as per these policies. My final point, policy SP1 in the adopted local plan sets criteria that development proposals must meet. However, this application fails to meet the following required criteria. Criteria 5. This development would result in the loss of best and most versatile land and fail to integrate with the character of the area or reflect the townscape of Denston Village. Criteria 7. This development is not a high-quality design, nor does it respond to the character of the area. Criteria 14. The development would not safeguard best and most versatile agricultural land. This proposal intends to develop previously undeveloped Grade 3 agricultural land. In summary, this development would set a dangerous precedent for the future. There are absolutely no material considerations to allow departure from policies SB1 and SB2 of the Denston Neighbourhood Plan. The Denston Neighbourhood Plan allows for full delivery of the housing need within the settlement boundary. Therefore, there is no requirement to develop previously undeveloped land outside of the settlement boundary, particularly as this land makes a positive contribution to reducing current flood risk. Therefore, there are no material considerations why this application should be granted, and we therefore request that you refuse this application. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Mrs. Payne. I now call on Mrs. Hannah Barker, please. Barter, sorry. Good afternoon, Mrs. Barter.
Afternoon, everyone.
You have your 3 minutes when you're ready.
As the consultant representative for the Parish Council, I just want to reiterate the comments of our previous speakers. The recommendation to approve this application will compromise future development management decisions. The first item I'd like to address is the principle of the development. It will set a precedent for future growth outside of the settlement boundary, undermining the policies of this neighbourhood plan and the future development decisions. In Yore Schlar in 2017, it identifies the site spanning reference 65 the Croft and 91 the Dingle, both on College Road. The assessment of both sites stated that they are greenfield, and whilst they were available, they are not achievable, deliverable, suitable, or developable. There have been no material changes to the site since the Schlar. There are also a number of errors in the officer's report. These include not referencing policy SB1 of the Neighbourhood Plan in Section 7 and dismissing policy SB1 in paragraph 8.10. In the officer report, paragraph 4.5, bullet point 4 states, there are also no opportunities for the need identified within the HNS to be met within the village. This statement is factually incorrect. The Denston Neighbourhood Plan includes Inset Map 1. This relates to policy SB1, development within the village settlement boundary, and the policy states new housing will be permitted within the Denston settlement boundary as shown on the proposals map, provided it complies with the other policies. The report fails to acknowledge the capacity clearly within the settlement boundary, specifically the two fields opposite the proposed development, as you'll see from your documents. This demonstrates the officer has not applied or failed to consider the policy of SB1 of the Denston Neighbourhood Plan. Therefore, the case that there is insufficient land within the settlement boundary is not correct. As such, there's no material consideration to depart from the policy. I would emphasise the requirement of Section 38 of the Planning and Compulsory Purchase Act 2004 to determine applications in accordance with the policies of the Statutory Development Plan, unless material consideration indicates otherwise. That Statutory Development Plan is your adopted local plan and the neighbourhood plan. This is not optional. This is a requirement in law. Clearly, if the requirements are not met, the decision could be vulnerable to challenge. Our opinion is that the proposed development should be refused on the grounds there is sufficient capacity within the settlement boundary in policy SB1 of the neighbourhood plan to accommodate this level of growth.
Thank you. The next person I'll call is Mr. Jim Malkin, please. Good afternoon, Mr. Malkin.
Good afternoon, members of the Planning Committee.
Right, 3 minutes when you're ready then, please.
Brilliant, thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of our application. As you will be aware from previous speakers and the level of objection, this proposal was one that has resulted in a lot of local interest. As set out in your officer's report, however, the scheme is one that complies with relevant planning policies and therefore should be granted planning approval. Our clients have approached the scheme on the basis of ensuring compliance with policy SP18 of the local plan and SP2 of the neighbourhood plan. As members will be aware, these policies allow for exception sites out of or adjacent to the development boundary. Therefore, the site's position outside of such a boundary is not a barrier granting to planning permission and doesn't affect the role of Section 38. The application is supported by an up-to-date housing needs survey, which was completed at our client's expense in 2019. This follow-up questionnaire has been sent out to all households in the village. Your officers have confirmed that the scope of the survey and the wider scheme is in principle acceptable and meets the needs of the village as established by the housing needs survey. The response of the Parish Council states that the housing needs survey is not representative of the village, as only 14% of residents responded. However, a much lower response rate for the Yoxall Weaver Lake exception scheme, which is 9%, was deemed acceptable by the planning inspectorate, with the inspector stating they have no concerns regarding the response rate of the housing needs survey. The proposal does not set a precedent for the development of any market housing outside of a settlement boundary. With regards to design, the application has been submitted in outline, and therefore the final layout of the site and appearance of the dwellings is reserved for future approval. The indicative layout and potential streets enjoined does, however, show clearly that the dwellings of the scale proposed can be sited acceptably on the land without harm to the wider landscape. In terms of flooding, the site is not in a flood zone, nor is it within an area affected by surface water flooding. No objections have been raised to the scheme by either Severn Trent Water or the Leeds Local Flood Authority. There are a variety of solutions to ensure that runoff rates do not exceed that of the Greenfield site. These include the provision of attenuation tanks within the development, which enable a controlled discharge rate, so this cannot exceed the current Greenfield runoff rate and will therefore not increase flooding elsewhere. Whilst we're of the view that these details could be secured via condition, we are comfortable with the officer's recommendation and will be able to provide technical drainage details within 56 days as required, should committee follow the officer's recommendation. The Highway Authority confirmed that the scheme raises no concerns regarding highway safety and the additional footpath proposed linking the site to the centre of the village and up towards Denston College are a significant benefit. There are no other technical matters that preclude the granting of planning permission. Similar schemes to this have previously been approved at appeal by the planning inspector in both Yoxall and Draco in the Clay, and we therefore urge you to follow these precedents and your officer's recommendation and grant planning permission for this exceptions housing site to meet the established needs of the village. While I've got a little bit of time left, in terms of the agricultural grading, the land is currently used as paddock. It's an undulating site. It is not of a scale that it could be used for modern agricultural techniques. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Malkin. And my final speaker I have is the ward councillor, Councillor Steve Sankey, please.
Okay, I'll prefer to stand if I may. You heard the main issues why this application should be rejected, and I will not go into detail. However, I would like to raise some key points that have been out throughout. Firstly, there is sufficient land within this existing settlement boundary, so there is no need for an application outside the settlement boundary. Secondly, our strategic housing land availability assessment, I think a bit of a mouthful personally, states the current application site is greenfield and available, but not achievable, deliverable, suitable or developable. Pretty damning. Number three, there is no material consideration to depart from the neighbourhood plan. Why deviate from the plan when we don't need to? This raises the question, why have neighbourhood plans any staffs if we're not following them? Fourth one is this would set a precedent for unrestricted growth in a number of our rural areas. I am aware of two applications waiting for the result of this. This is not what we want in East Staffs. Finally, safety and flooding are also major considerations. I have stood at the entrance to this plot of land at peak traffic times. And to be blunt, it's dangerous. No path, single track, high traffic volumes, large vehicles. We must be mad to increase the risk. Add to that, the volume of traffic is in September is going to double when the prep school moves to the main site. The council has received 28 separate objections to this planning application. That is a lot of objections for a small village planning application. And I think we should all take notice of the genuine concern of the residents here have. This is not a NIMBY two or three neighbours complaining. This is a major concern, not just from close neighbours, but going far and wide, including the local MP, who doesn't live in the area, who all have serious material concerns about this application. Over the last 6 years, the planning committee has only overturned three officer decisions. I believe there is a strong case, based on evidence, not emotion, that this should be number four. So I ask members to give serious consideration to the significant material issues raised by objectors and reject this application. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you. So, Councillors, I'd like to open the floor, and who would like to comment first? Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Chair. I can understand the local feeling. Naomi and I took Mrs. Payne to Elliston to speak to my four parishes about a neighbourhood plan. She explained the amount of work she'd put in, how she'd done a survey with over 50% response from the village, how she'd had to redefine the boundary to fit in extra houses more than were required initially. But she said it's all worthwhile because it means we as a village can say where the developments are going to be. I have to say that anything outside that boundary or our boundary is totally unnecessary if there's enough space within it, which there is, and any other decision but to refuse this would be a betrayal of the people of East Staffordshire who elected us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Barker. Okay, Councillor Hall.
Good afternoon, Chairman. Thank you. I think for me it would be most useful to just bottom out this issue of whether there is scope within the development boundary of the neighbourhood plan to deliver the need, because I think that's key for us to understand how the recommendation fits in with the neighbourhood plan.
Would you like to come forward on that? Yes, certainly. So the settlement boundary for Denston was amended in the neighbourhood plan to accommodate 20 dwellings over the plan period. Some of those sites have got permission, you know, without going into the detail of each individual area or site. So 20 dwellings can be accommodated within the settlement boundary. I think that's fair to say. What we've got before us here is an application that's supported by a housing needs survey, which identifies a particular need, and that's affordable need and the need for older people. Up until this point, no other site within the settlement boundary is going to be delivering affordable housing. And that's not the fault of the neighbourhood plan or any planning decisions. That's because nationally, we as a local planning authority aren't able to secure planning obligations for affordable housing on small sites. So that's, you know, why there's been a lack of affordable housing in Denston, and perhaps why there is a need identified from the housing needs survey. In terms of the needs for older people, which is identified, you could make an argument that some of those smaller dwellings that have permission or have been completed could meet those needs, but we haven't got the details of those particular units meeting M42, which would be a way to meet housing for older people, or they're not secured by legal agreement. So again, we're not sure of the delivery to date or any permissions that would secure housing to meet the needs for affordable households or households for older people. So that's the position that we're in. The settlement boundary was amended to accommodate needs, but we haven't before us secured by way of permission or delivery any individual dwellings that would meet that need.
So does it mean that we need to have evidence that it can't be delivered through the existing development boundary, or that we need to have evidence that this will, provide something that couldn't otherwise be delivered? Shall I start again? So does this mean that we need to be sure Does this mean that we need to be satisfied that the need can't be met within the existing boundary, or does it mean that because there isn't anything that's yet come forward, we can't be sure that it would be? And to me, that's quite a critical difference, and I think it's key to the recommendation.
Would you like to come back on that?
In coming to a recommendation before you today, officers, so, it's not just the case officer, with discussions with policy officers and the housing team, I suppose we have come to a view that the housing needs identified in the housing needs survey prepared by the applicant can't be met through sites within the settlement boundary, and that's either because they've got permission, so, don't include those particular units, or because of the reason I outlined earlier for affordable housing, we're not certain that they could be delivered. So in answer to your question, it's a bit of both, really.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it hasn't really answered my question, but I think what it's saying is it's down to us to decide that, isn't it? Because there isn't a definitive answer as to whether there needs to be evidence that it can't be delivered through the neighbourhood plan policies and local plan policies, or whether that need can only be delivered through a rural exception site. So it's not yes or no to either of those things, is it?
I would say it is important, and officers have carried out this exercise, that we have looked at whether the proposal could fit within the settlement boundary. So that exercise has been carried out. But you could argue that looking at other sites and other housing within the village, it is a point in time, isn't it? And you may come to a different view.
Thank you. Alan, would you like to come in on that before Councillor Hall?
Yes, I was just going to add one thing about, and it was just in terms of delivery, Councillor Hall, is that in terms of, we're talking about a scope in time and the degree of probability, is that what we can't as an authority, given on the basis of the size of the sites allocated in Denston, they're too small in terms of us requiring development to include affordable housing. So when we've got larger sites, then it starts at 10 upwards, you start to get a percentage that they have to deliver. None of the sites that are in Denston will deliver 10 houses individually, so you will never deliver, be required. We could never, as an authority, require under our SPD to deliver affordable housing as a percentage.
Would you like to come back in on that then, Councillor?
Yeah, thank you. That's very helpful in understanding how we've come to a recommendation. Just moving on to the next thing that I wanted to ask then, is, and it's prompted a bit by something Naomi's just mentioned, Is there anything in the neighbourhood plan policies which require something like an MP4 standard of the new houses built within the settlement boundary?
Right. Okay. While the officers are just having a quick look at that, and they will come back in just a moment. Do we have any further comments? Councillor Lamb, please.
Yeah, I've got a question that relates really to this housing need, which I think is critical, because it identifies the need for four houses, which I can see. And then it says there's five others that people sent the forms in but didn't give any GBDPR, and that nobody's actually been able to get back to confirm those people are actually got that requirement. And I presume, therefore, there must be concerns about exactly where they reside. But we've added that as a requirement. So I'm a bit confused why we've added the five that we can't get any confirmation on. It's in 8.13, I think.
Thank you, Councillor Lamb. Have we noted that query?
Yes, in relation to that one, I suppose, you know, there's nowhere set out in our housing choice SPD that says if someone hasn't ticked the GDPR, our box, you know, we shouldn't consider them. It was just, again, going back to Alan's case on probability, you know, if they've filled the survey in, it's likely that they will be in housing need. You know, if they weren't in housing need, I would say they wouldn't have filled it in. So it was reasonable in this case that we considered it, although, as you'll see, it wasn't given full consideration.
So there's no way to validate it. So how can you be sure that they're actually living in the area? If you've got, you know, you can't get the GDPR, it says there's no GDPR tick, it says there's no correct contact information was provided by respondents.
My understanding is that they did submit that information, they just didn't allow for them, for the person carrying out the survey to use that personal information to contact them. So they would have lived in the area.
But the other thing is, because nobody's actually voted in, nobody's actually written in to support this application, have they? Nobody said we should be building this because of the affordable housing it's providing and meeting the needs.
That's not reported in the officer's report, no.
No.
Thank you, Councillor Lamb. I've got Councillor McKiernan, please.
Can I just make a comment that, notwithstanding the housing need, the local plan itself has still got 10 years to run, and things may well come forward in the next 10 years which meet the need. And also, can somebody explain about the two fields that was mentioned? How big are they? How many houses could they perhaps hold? Because they're within the settlement boundary. So why wouldn't we wait for them?
Thank you, Councillor McKiernan.
To go back to the question, I believe off the top of my head, the bigger fields, the bigger sites, the biggest site in the neighbourhood plan is five. So you've got five, four, and I believe another four. And it goes back to my point about in terms of answering Councillor Hall's question is you can only do things on the basis of probability. Because, as you say, you're working over a planned period. But the question you would have to ask yourself is that we know that we can't require a percentage of affordable housing because those sites are too small to require an affordable house as part of that scheme. So you're basically relying on the goodwill of any developer who's developing an application site to bring forward housing. So the question is, are developers going to bring forward affordable housing on a site where they're going to, when they can do market housing, and therefore obviously you would develop a site on the basis to maximise profit on a normal basis, which is the whole reason why exceptions policies are there in the first place. And the neighbourhood plan, as does the local plan, it does have the principle of exceptions criteria. So I think in terms of what we're discussing is that we're actually, there's been a lot of mention of about things being contrary to local plans and local plan policies and etc. There are policies in place both in the neighbourhood plan and in the local plan for exception sites. So the question is, and the balance of the argument is, does this site meet that criteria? But the probability of other sites bringing forward affordable housing, I would suggest, is very low on the basis that any developer on any site maximises their profits by building the biggest houses they can or the biggest size of development they can within the criteria of the local plan policies or the neighbourhood plan policies. And some of the neighbourhood plan policies, and for instance the Four Crofts site that came forward, required that 50% of the houses be two or three bedroom, which is fine, but it still hasn't brought forward affordable housing.
Thank you, Alan. I've got Councillor Barker next then, please.
Thank you, Chair. I think Councillor Lamb pointed out the danger of listening to a housing needs survey which is unaccountable, which only accounts for less than 15% of the village, when you've had a full neighbourhood plan which was well over 50% of what the village wanted. But to go back to Alan's point, under Strategic Policy 18, it says the majority of units provided on the site will be affordable housing. There are only two out of the five that are affordable housing, which is not the majority. So can I just finish off, Chair, and you were involved in this and you will know. I went to meet the officers to try and get planning permission for my local stonemason to build a house on his work site. I was told that the bar for SP8 and SP18 was so high that I was not allowed to bring it to the committee. If this limbo dances under that high bar, it'll be a tragic irony, because that stonemason lives at the top of that road by Denston College and will be travelling down this single track road to and from work and will be impacted by the extra traffic on that single track road. And that to me is just a tragic irony of this job.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks for that, Councillor Barker. And whilst we can listen to all the points about other applications, unfortunately we have to deal with the one that is in front of us. So whilst I take note of those comments, we are dealing with this one at this moment in time. Thank you. Would you like to come in on that, Alan or Naomi?
Just to an earlier point, actually. It was a question about... Sorry, I can't recall who asked, but... a policy on the housing mix in the neighbourhood plan. So policy H2, meeting the needs of all sectors of the population, and I'll read it out, says new housing development should include a range of house types and sizes to meet the locally identified needs of the population. The provision of smaller, and that's defined in brackets as 1, 2 and 3-bedroomed homes, homes suitable for older people and homes which meet the needs of people with disabilities are particularly encouraged and would be welcomed by the local community. So I won't provide a comment, I was just pointing out that there is a policy on that. And then just turning to Councillor Barker's point about the majority of units to be affordable as set out in policy SP18. Yep, that's what the policy says, and I believe that is addressed in the report, you know, why the applicant has proposed the mix that they have. It's meeting other needs identified in the survey, but on the face of it, you're correct, the majority aren't affordable units.
Thank you for that, Naomi. Councillor Hall, would you like to come back in?
But nor is the application site within the neighbourhood plan, so it doesn't count, does it? Thank you for that, Naomi. So there are policies within the neighbourhood plan policies which encourage houses, very much encourage houses to be built for older people and for MP4 type use. How does a local authority enforce that when applications come forward within a neighbourhood plan development boundary, that those types of houses are delivered? Because it strikes me that there's no obligation on any one developer with 4 or 5 bedroomed sites to actually deliver any of those, if you follow me. Does that make sense? And then one other technical question, I wonder if you could just educate me a little bit. I think it's section 38 or paragraph 38 was mentioned by both of the planning consultants, one saying that it applies and the other saying it doesn't. Can you give us some advice about that, please?
Yes, and
just let us know what it is.
When anybody's making a decision, section 38.6 is what you evoke to say that you follow the local plan, so that's where your starting point is, unless there's material considerations that apply. So that has been evoked here. That's obviously the starting point of everything. So that has been considered, and then it goes on, and you can then add things like planning judgment, what weight you give to different policies, and so that's just the hierarchy, the statute that overarches all of the planning policy issues that we're obviously now considering.
Thank you, Sherry. Would one of our officers like to come in on that then, please? Alan.
I was going to pick up on one point. I'll pick on the section 38 again. As we said, I think I've tried to make that clear as part of the presentation. Is that the policies are of the local plan do allow the exceptions in that hierarchy of it's whether that is actually, and so obviously the developer is on one hand saying, well, the policy SB2 of the neighbourhood plan and policy SP18. Allow for a rural exception site. On the other hand, you've got the other argument saying that they're not, that criteria is not met, and that's what we're discussing. So that's the reason why both people can argue that section 38 is being met at the same time, because it's your interpretation of the actual policies, and then that's obviously the planning balance. I was just going to go in terms of the delivery of the application sites in the neighbourhood plan, because there's an appendix that relates to the delivery of the sites that are identified. So in this fantastic social distancing world, I somehow reach over here. But so in Appendix 5 of the Neighbourhood Plan, it talks about there's a community proposal policy, and that talks about the allocated sites. So in terms of the land north of All Saints Church, that talks about delivering up to 6 houses comprising smaller dwellings with design and materials that should be traditional. Land off Oak Road, up to 5 houses should be provided comprising a majority of smaller dwellings. And then the land at Vinewood Farm, land up to 5 houses should be provided comprising the majority of smaller dwellings. And then it talks about smaller dwellings are defined as 2 to 3 beds, providing flexible accommodation for families and older people. So in terms of the policies, it talks about the 6 at All Saints Church should be 2 to 3 bed. Land off Oak Road is a majority. That's the one that's already got permission. So that's the one that's being delivered at the minute. And then land at Vinewood Farm, which is off College Road, is also comprising the majority of smaller dwellings. So you're talking 2 to 3 beds. But they're all market houses. There's no requirement for them to be affordable houses.
Have we any further comments that we want to make from the head table before I open it up again? Councillor McKinnon, then, please.
Sorry, just following on from Councillor Hall's point about the policy, you know, what happens when we get to 2031 and say there aren't any affordable houses? Do we suffer any penalty I don't think we can think about that now. I think we have to think about what's before us and whether it's suitable or not. And we mustn't be, you know, persuaded into thinking we have to do this because it's the only affordable houses coming forward. I personally don't think it's met the criteria for exceptional housing because it's not enhancing the area in any way at all. So I think it completely fails on that second criteria.
Thank you, Councillor McKernan. Councillor Hall, would you like to come back in?
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I've had the answers to all of my queries. I'm going to make a proposal that we permit, subject to the conditions in the officer's report.
Thank you. So we have a proposal for a motion to permit following the recommendations in the report. Do I have a seconder on that point, please? Councillor Sylvester. Thank you. So we have a proposal and we have a seconder. So for our motion to permit. Do we have any further comments that we wish to make at this point before I ask for a vote? Nope. Could I ask then for a named vote on this motion then, please, Monica?
Councillor Gould.
For.
Councillor Hall.
For.
Councillor Toon.
Against.
Sorry. Against. Councillor Ashcroft.
For.
Councillor Sylvester.
For.
Councillor Barker.
Against.
Councillor Legg.
Against.
Councillor Bilth.
For.
Councillor McKernan.
Against.
Councillor Lamb.
Against.
So we have a split on that
German
and the casting vote. Thank you. I will stick with my original vote and I will go for on that. So that will be carried then, please.
Yeah.
Right, so that concludes the application 5.1 that we have here. I would like to request a 5-minute adjournment so that we can prepare for the next application. Thank you.
Can we all take our seats again now, please? Thank you. Councillor Toon.
Yeah, before we start the next application, could we be reassured that when this application comes to and the houses are there, so that the same regime of houses, but also the style, etc., fits in with the village? Can we actually have it come back to us to make sure that we see it? And the fact that the edge, which a lot of these people thought that have gone, thought was coming out, because two or three of them said it's coming out. We want to know how much of it's coming out to reassure them that we're not just walking over the top of them.
Yeah, we can make sure the reserve matters comes back to committee,
please.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Toon. Yes. We'll definitely make note of that and get it back in.
Yeah.
Right, if we're all ready to start again, we'll move on to our next item, which is 5.2. So this is for Burton Washlands, and it's the Central Enhancements Project. And if I open this for Lisa to present, please.
Thank you. So this application is reference P2020-01498 and relates to the central area of Washlands adjacent to the Meadowsar Drive and the River Trent in Burton. The proposal is a central enhancement project comprising of wetland habitat creation with swales and pools, boardwalks for public access across the wetland areas, public open space improvements including planting and hard surfacing. That also includes improvements to street furniture, a new play area and platforms for access to the water's edge. This plan shows the outline of the application site edged in black. It's quite a long site from north to south. The road across the top is the Burton Bridge. The road across down here along the east of the site is Staple Hill Road, and to the west is the High Street. The pink area is conservation area, and the whole of the site is within that. There's a public right-of-way which runs from the north of the site along this boundary to the west, and then it follows the footpath that's present around the site, along the haywalk, down past the library, and exits out through the Gardens of Remembrance, down Andrussy Passage onto High Street. There are a number of listed buildings around the site. The building here to the east, to the west of the site, sorry, is the water tower. That's Grade 2 listed. There's a footbridge here, which is partially within the site. That's the Grade 2 listed Andrussy footbridge. There's the Grade 1 listed St Modwin's Church to the south here, which has Grade 2 star rails and gates. And Grade 2 star listed buildings to the corner of the Marketplace and Friars Walk and the Assembly Rooms on Friars Walk. The Garden of Remembrance is also subject to a TPO, which is part of a wider TPO stretching across this part of the Washlands here. The entirety of the Gardens of Remembrance is within that TPO area. That's just a slightly more zoomed out image showing the relationship of the site to the town centre. So this is the High Street down here. And that's an aerial view which gives shows more clearly the position of the River Trent and the branches of the Trent down here, with the public footpath running through again there. And this aerial view again shows the conservation area, listed buildings and the footpath in a wider context. This drawing is the north of the site and shows some of the proposals. I have had to split these up to try and fit these on because the site is rather large. So this shows the public footpath running along the west of the site here, an area of raised platform to the water's edge there, and the beginning of the boardwalks proposed to this part here. In relation to the question asked earlier at the site visit, the boardwalks have got a minimum height of half a metre up to 0.8 metres, apart from where it would cross the swale. So where there's some excavation works, it would be up to 1.8 metres in height, but that would mainly be filled with water in any event. I'll go to the next part. This one shows further south and shows the rest of the boardwalk, as it links down southwards through the site. This is the start of the swale here and the excavation works indicated in the black dotted lines. And there are areas of tree work which I will refer to on a later slide to show that site. In relation to the boardwalks as well, these will link onto the hay walk which runs down along the path of the public footpath. And they will be accessible by pedestrians, wheelchair users and pushchairs. They're not designed to be used for cycles, and it's intended that cycles would remain on the public footpath which is available along the hay walk. This shows the central portion of the site where it widens out. The Trent is along this portion here. The boardwalk follows this line and swoops around the site, creating more access across the excavated land, which is in the middle here, and up that way. The beginning of the proposed play area is in this location here, and just to give you some context, that's the Meadowside Leisure Centre building there, and Burton Library is just down here. This shows the more southern portion of the wider part of the site and shows the continuation of the raised platform and boardwalk as it continues down, with the exiting of the swale as well into this part of the Trent, and some of the river bank reprofiling works along here, which I will show you on another plan in a moment. This is the pedestrian footbridge that crosses the Trent. There are some minor improvements to that repainting of that bridge. And there's some works around this area here, which is excavation works again, which follow around there, and that is to accommodate the play area in that location. The play area currently sits in this grey area here and here. The area here is to the front of the library. That corner there is the library. And that's the amphitheatre. There's some works proposed to the steps there to resurface them in granite. And that just gives a slightly clearer position of the steps in front of Burton Library, so you can see where the buildings are for context. The southernmost portion of the site is the Garden of Remembrance. This whole square is subject to a tree preservation order. It is proposed to lift the central path of the garden through the garden and put some cellular web down to protect tree roots underneath that path and to lay the path back as it was. And there's some tree works to the works within this area proposed. So these drawings show the cross sections through the site from east to west. I have added in some of the boardwalks. The drawings do indicate the height above ordnance datum, which is why I've clarified the actual height of them. They are intended to be level with the level of the hay walk, which is the public footpath to the west of the site. And this one again shows that there's a difference in height just because the levels across the site do change and they do slope downwards towards the river, so some of the boardwalks appear to be higher than others, but they will be level across the site. This one shows a cross-section from north to south, indicating again the level of the boardwalks and the depth of the excavation works. And here is proposed river profiling. This is along three sections, one to the north of the site along this small portion here, one further down towards the central portion of the site and continuing south-westerly direction, and again there beyond the little footbridge that's present here. That's only proposed to be between 1 and 3 metres in width to reprofile those banks. This is the area of public a play area proposed. The area existing is to be removed and replaced with this equipment, which will be interspersed within the woodland. There are tree works proposed to accommodate for that, which will be shown on another slide. And this indicates the type of street furniture and play equipment that they are proposing to use. This drawing has been provided by the developer just to show slightly more clearly the areas of grassland proposed. The green area is just normal grassland. The red area is pictorial meadow, and then the green sort of dappled area as it comes southwards is the wetland habitat and wet meadow. That dark green continues down, and where it gets darker in the middle is where more of the water would be stored, and that would be the wetter area of the site. The green to this side, to the west of the site, is just grassland planting. The play area is proposed to be finished with grass mat surface, and this area is an area of woodland that's to be expanded upon. The area to the south of the site, within the Garden of Remembrance, there is some planting within this site here that's shown green, and that will be ornamental planting, along with some ornamental planting in front of the amphitheatre steps to the library. This plan is one that I've annotated just to show more clearly the extent of the tree works proposed. The pink area on this plan is an area to be removed. Yellow is to be managed or maintained, and that would include thinning or coppicing of the trees. Blue trees are to be retained, and the green trees shown are to be new trees planted. That's the central portion of the site, again indicating the pink is to be removed, blue retained, yellow is maintenance, and then green is all new tree planting. So there's quite a lot of new tree planting to expand the woodland to the east, and planting dotted down the western portion of the site and within the play area. And then to the southern portion of the site, the majority of the trees within that area would be retained, with some works to the trees that are shown yellow here to maintain them. And this, again, is the area where the TPO is present. This photograph shows the site from Burton Bridge at the north of the site, looking down towards the Meadowside Leisure Centre, which is here, and the water tower, that you can see that there's some planting, there's some trees along here, and the extent of the river, which was flooded at the time of the site visit. That's looking back towards the bridge. This was taken more recently when the floodwaters had receded, looking towards the bridge, and you can just see the river beyond the vegetation there. This wall here is the line of flood defence that follows the line of the public footpath down from the north of the site down towards the library. This is taken from the rear of Meadowside Leisure Centre near the car park, just looking towards St Null and Winsel with the bridge, the Burton Bridge across there, and to show the extent of some of the flooding. And that's just looking back towards the Meadowside Leisure Centre. Again, the flood bank wall is in that position there, and there's some works to the trees in this bank over here. That's also at the back of the Leisure Centre, just giving a slightly wider view. The river sits beyond this line of vegetation here. You can just see it as it works its way around there, and with some works proposed to the trees in this location. And again, that shows some of the trees that are present on site and the flood bank wall which follows around there. That path here, which does sit beyond this wall and continues around, is the path that they're expecting cyclists to remain to use. And again, you can see that path again here. That's looking back towards the north. The bridge is more obscured on this, and it's where the site widens out and where the majority of the works would be over here to excavate the land. This photograph shows the wide part of the site as well, with the footbridge over here. A bank of trees here, which is in between the Meadowside and the library, which is to be the majority of that is to be thinned and replanted. And again, that's that same bank of trees, just from a different point of view. The Grade 2 listed water tower is to the right-hand side, and it's looking down towards the library, which is there. You can just see the footbridge across the river over here and some of the existing playground. This is the same, the view southwards again towards the library. That wall is the flood risk, the flood bank wall, and the trees to the left is the main bank where works are proposed to accommodate the play area. And just in the distance, you can see the Grade 2 listed Andrassy footbridge. This photograph is looking back up the site towards the north. The Meadowside Leisure Centre sits here. There's the bank of trees again for the play area in that location, and this is all just car park along this area here. That's just to give an indication of the position of the play area at the moment, which would be expanded across here. And this is an indication of the existing amphitheatre steps, which are to be replaced. As you can see, the Grade 2 listed Andrassy footbridge is to the left there, and there's access through a pathway here into the Garden of Remembrance. That's looking back up the site in the same spot just to see the existing play equipment, and that's the bank of trees where the majority of works are proposed. And this photograph is just to give an indication of the extent of flooding on the site at the time of my visit some months ago, which was encroaching onto the play area. And again, you can see the extent of the flooding there with the Meadowside Leisure Centre at the back. This is a view close to the riverbank where some reprofiling work is to take place. The bridge across there is the Grade 2 listed Andrassy footbridge, and you can see the Grade 1 listed St Modwin's Church just in that position beyond the bridge. And beyond this path is the entrance into the Garden of Remembrance. The library sits just out of shot over here. So this is as you get into the Garden of Remembrance, looking again southwards towards the marketplace. This is the central area of path which is proposed to be taken up and relayed with the cell web underneath it. The trees in this location, which are all quite large trees, are to be retained, and some of them to have remedial works carried out to them. The Grade 1 listed church is in that position there. The entrance to the marketplace is just here, and then you've got Grade 2 listed buildings on the corner of the marketplace and here to the assembly rooms. And that's just a clearer view of that path running into the marketplace with the church and the listed buildings to Friars Walk. That's looking in the opposite direction back towards the library from in front of the church, and that's the central area of path to be relayed. So in terms of consultations, there's been no objection from the Environment Agency, the Staffordshire County Council Flood Risk Team, Natural England, the County Council Rights of Way Team, or the Ramblers Association, or the Peak and Northern Footpath Society. The National Forest Company have confirmed that there's no objection subject to a condition in respect of tree planting. The Staffordshire Police Architectural Liaison Officer has not objected. And the County Council Archaeologist has no objection subject to a condition in respect of the submission of a historic environment management plan. There's been no objection from the East Staffordshire Tree Officer or from Historic England. No response has been received from the national amenity bodies. No objection subject to a condition in respect of contaminated land from the Environmental Health Team. And no objection from the East Staff Conservation Officer subject to conditions to secure details of materials at the site. Burton Parish Council have not submitted any comments, and neither have the ward members in respect of the application. The policies to be applied are the National Planning Policy Framework, the East Staff's Local Plan, the Separation Distances and Amenity SPD, and the East Staffordshire Design Guide. In terms of the principle of the proposal, the development is considered to be acceptable in principle as the site is in an area of public open space and the proposals will enhance and retain this use. In terms of design and impact on the character of the area, the development includes changes to land levels and the introduction of boardwalks in the area. The proposals would be acceptable in terms of the character of the area and appropriate in this area of public open space. A palette of finishes has been submitted in relation to finishes of hard standing, seating and street furniture, but this is proposed to be secured by condition. There's considered to be no adverse impact on nearby residents due to the separation distances involved in the proposal. The nearest residents would be along Friars Walk, where there's less development going on, just the works to the central path and the tree works. There's no adverse impact in terms of highway safety issue. The site is sustainably located close to the town centre and there are pay and display car parks in close proximity along with public transport routes, cycle routes and footpaths for pedestrian access to the site and across the site. In terms of the historic environment, there's considered to be no significant adverse impact to the significance of the setting of the nearby listed buildings or the special architectural and historic character and appearance of the conservation area. The site is in an area of known archaeology and the county archaeologist has confirmed that there are no objections subject to the submission of a historic environment management plan which can be secured via condition. The site is within flood zone 3 and whilst it is public open space, it floods for several months of the year. The proposal would provide additional capacity for the storage of flood water during a flood event and enable the site to be used by the public during a flood. The proposal is therefore designed to be water compatible and as such is considered to be acceptable. In terms of green infrastructure and trees, the proposal would enhance the existing area of green infrastructure and allow use by the public at all times of year. Works are proposed to be carried out to trees within the site and the proposal incorporates the planting of at least 200 new trees to compensate for those lost, including the creation of new woodland areas. There's been a habitat survey submitted with the application which indicates there is little potential for any existing species to be disturbed during the course of the development. The proposals would include opportunities for the creation of new wetland habitat and additional tree planting, both of which are considered to be ecological enhancements. The proposal would enhance the existing area of outdoor open space and provide new opportunities to use the space during flooding events. The new play area proposed would be set further away from the area most prone to flooding, with some excavation works to the edges of the play area to increase usability throughout the year. In terms of contaminated land, there are some areas of known contamination within the site, and the application has been supported by the relevant reports. A condition is recommended for the submission of further information in the event that additional contamination is found. In conclusion, the proposal complies with the local plan, national planning policy framework, design SPD and the separation distance and amenity SPD. The local planning authority has worked proactively with the applicant to secure a development that improves the economic, social and environmental conditions of the area in accordance with the requirements of paragraphs 186 and 187 of the national planning policy framework. The recommendation, therefore, is to approve with conditions as per the report, with the omission of the drainage condition as per the update. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Right, as we have no public speakers, I'd like to open the floor up for our members. I'll go to Councillor Lamb first.
Yeah, just a couple of quick questions. One, because I couldn't really observe it well enough, I presume the boardwalk's got sides on it.
Because the height of it changes across the site, any areas that are more than 0.6 metres in height will have handrails, but any areas less than 0.6 metres are not required to have handrails.
OK, and the second question was, obviously while this is all being put in place, there's a period of time when access is not going to be possible. Have we got a feel for how long potentially the play area will be out of action?
No, that's not something that that has been discussed, unfortunately, so I'm not sure how long it would take. And there isn't any requirement for us to ask for that during the course of the application. So.
Okay. I guess I'd say I'd support this because, I mean, I'm somebody who's run over that area a lot and it is flooded a lot and I've got very wet feet a lot of times, and I'm sure if we put this in place and it does access the area for people a lot more during the year. And I think, obviously, the people that are in the library can go and go over there and have a good walk around. I think the only two issues I can see is, one, it'd be nice if, as a council, the car parking costs, because we've got car parking there, but it's got no reduction, I think, at that over there. And the only other negative I can see is that I think it destroys the Burton 10 route. So I don't know I'm sure the council can help on that somehow.
Any further comments from the top table? Yeah, lovely. Thanks for those comments, Councillor Lamb. And if I go to Councillor Hall, and then I can move on to our others.
I think this is an excellent application. I'm going to propose permit with the conditions in the officer's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hall. I've got Councillor Toon next.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's going to be any nest boxes put up or anything like that, bat boxes or anything like that. Because you've not mentioned any preservation of wildlife. You've just mentioned that it's going to be a wetlands, etc.
The scheme will improve the bat and bird habitat purely throughout planting and habitat creation in the site, but the applicant have said that they can provide bat and bird boxes if you consider it necessary.
Councillor Toon, would you like to put anything forward for that? Have you got the microphone on? Can you speak into it?
Yeah, I would like to put forward that we do put some nest boxes up for encouraging the birds.
Would you like that to be as a condition or an informative on that, please, Councillor Toon? Okay.
An informative, please.
Thank you, Councillor Toon. Are you happy that we can put the wording for the officers to do for that? Okay, we have Councillor Hall. Would you like to come in and second that?
I'll second that, Chairman. Okay.
Thank you. So we have that informative going forward. Can I have a vote on that then, please, for the addition of the informative to have bat boxes and bird nests?
Councillor Gould.
Four.
Councillor Hall.
Four.
Councillor Toon.
Four.
Councillor Ashcroft.
Four.
Councillor Sylvester.
Four.
Councillor Barker.
Four.
Councillor Legg.
Four.
Councillor Bilf.
Four.
Councillor McKernan.
Four.
Councillor Lamb.
Four.
That's carried, Chair.
Thank you. So that informative will be added. I have Councillor Sylvester and then Councillor Legg to speak.
It was only a simple question. How wide is the boardwalk? Please.
The details of the boardwalk are to be conditioned. I don't know if I might be able to scale it off one of the plans, if you can bear with me a moment.
You asked that this morning.
We can come back onto that one in just a moment, if that's all right with you, Councillor Sylvester.
It's not important, it's just for information.
Okay. Councillor Legg.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to ask about the planting at the side of the boardwalk. Did Lisa say it was going to be meadows? And if so, how will this be mown, please? Because meadows do have to be mown and looked after. So I'd be interested in that. And also, you've mentioned cycling. Will there be any cycle stores put on the car park for people who do want to cycle there, please? Thank you.
That's Councillor Legg. I'm not sure that the car park is within the area for our planning consideration today, but certainly they can ask questions, but it is outside of what we're looking at. Thank you. Are you ready to come back on a couple of those points? Just bear with us a moment. Councillor McKernan.
I think it's an excellent scheme overall, but I'm just a bit concerned about the woodland area with the play equipment. Will there be sight lines for parents? Parents are very paranoid these days about seeing where their children are at all times. Or is the site bounded so that they can't, once they go in, they can't get out and run away?
Right.
you'd like to come in.
Just on that point, one of the conditions in the report is for the details of, you know, the individual trees to be planted. So I think that would be the right time to consider that last point that you've made in terms of visibility and height of trees and things like that.
Yeah, are you ready to go in then, Lisa?
In terms of the width of the boardwalk, it's 2.2 metres wide on the plan, and I have had assurances from the agent today that it's wide enough for people to pass, and there will be passing places on the boardwalk. It's not wide enough for two wheelchairs, but there are passing places for wheelchairs and pushchairs every 100 metres proposed.
Thank you.
Would you like to come in, Naomi?
Yes, in relation to the question about mowing of the meadow, as the Borough Council own the site, it will be part of, you know, whatever maintenance regime that we adopt for the site. I don't think it's necessary that we have to have a planning condition for it. That's all I can say really on that one.
Thank you. Any further comments or queries on this? Councillor Bills.
Yeah, I agree with all the previous speakers on this side. I don't know anybody seconded Councillor Hall's proposal, but I will second the...
That was my next thing. Yep, thank you, Councillor Bills. I'll take that as seconding for the motion. So we have a proposer and we have a seconder for that. Do we have any further comments we wish to make? Councillor Hall.
Just to confirm that my proposal now includes the additional informative that we've voted on. I'm happy for that.
Thank you. So no further comments. So I would like to call for a name vote. So that will be the proposal to permit with all the conditions and the informative that we've just agreed on then, please.
Councillor Gould.
Four.
Councillor Hall.
Four.
Councillor Toon.
Four.
Councillor Ashcroft.
Four.
Councillor Sylvester.
Four.
Councillor Barker.
Four.
Councillor Legg.
Four.
Councillor Bilf.
Four.
Councillor McKernan.
Four.
And Councillor Lamb.
Four.
That's Gary, Chairman.
Thank you. We now move on to agenda item six, request that members have considered the appeals raised and determined. Thank you. And seven, you've considered the planning permission circulated with the agenda. Thank you. So we now move on to the private part of the meeting. If I find my bit. So I would like to say that in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, press and public are excluded from the remainder of the meeting as it's likely in the view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item on the agenda. So I would like to go to 8, and can we...